Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, there is so much to be thankful for. When I think of all the blessings I have, it is amazing. Sure, I think of the big blessings, lots of them. Lots of them I just plain don't think of most of the time, but if I take a minute to stop and think, I am so blessed. And when I think of the small blessings, they are many, many blessings. And I want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for all the blessings that are in my life. So many things. Yes, things. Yes, people. Yes, circumstance. Lord, they are awesome and wonderful, and I thank you. So I know that all of us have goodness around us, and some of us, I have some that is not good. But even for that, one way or another, we can be thankful to our Lord for the things in our life, sometimes to point out the problems, and sometimes just to enjoy what there is and say, thank you, Lord, things are going well. And Jesus, I thank you for so much, and that you have a plan of salvation, and I'm able to go to that heavenly place and be with you eventually. So, Lord, thank you in Jesus' name. Yes. And I think about what do I understand, and I think about what people understand in general, and so much of it is a predictable response of the things that we are thankful for, and we just kind of forget all the things that are odd, surprises in life, but they happen too. There's action, there's reaction. And there's consequences to the things that we want or the things we do. And that is just so much of life. It's how life goes. And we can be thankful that we have variety in life. It's really very wonderful. I cannot ever forget there's good and there's bad in this world. And sometimes we get caught into a way that is good, and sometimes we get caught in a way that is bad. Why? Sometimes it's our choices, sometimes it's the circumstance, and we just, boy, there's some bad things in this world, and there's some good things in this world. I think about the kindness of people. It's wonderful. And yet, I think of how there's many diverse things there are in life. And I guess I'm just reflecting on law enforcement people that have kind of I've talked to. One of them has talked about how many, many, many drivers there are that are on one sort or another of drugs, either legal or illegal drugs. And It's something that I was just shocked by how many, when you stop and think, how many of the cars driving by have some kind of a problem in them. And I just realized that not having sobriety in your life is a big thing. It means that you are not able to search and understand with the same mental capacity as you would have if you had your what should I call it, just your normal brain working. So I think of the things going on. I think of the things going on all over the world. Yes, in this country and all the other countries, there's things that are oh so good, and there's things that are really oh so bad. And it just makes a contrast, doesn't it? We all get to choose, which side are you going to stand for? Are you going to have a good life with good things happening in it? Or are you going to look at the dark things and try the dark things? Well, we all have a choice, and we all get consequences for our choices. So I hope that you look to Jesus and try to understand how you are going to obey Jesus, because obedience is important. It's a part of how we demonstrate our faith. We obey God through Jesus. That's a part of what we do as Christ followers. Well, there's just be wise in what you do. There's a whole lot of people who do crazy, crazy things. And we want to avoid that kind of things, and the people who do the crazy things, we really don't need to be around them. We don't want anything to do with them. We don't want to risk ourselves or the family that we're with to be around unpredictable, uncertain people who, especially when they don't have their correct mind about them, if they are addicted to a substance, it makes the mind not work. And there have been surprising numbers of people who really do, well, you would call them crazy things. And they are, because they're doing things just at the moment that they want to and not thinking about the consequences. That's their reality, and we don't want anything to do with that. We want to avoid the dangers that are in life. Of course we do. Let's have a nice, safe life and not have any troubles, no crashes, no people fighting with us, no people who are ready to rob us. You know, at often enough, there are an element of people who are ready to literally rob us, stab us, kill us, cheat us. And so we need to do what we can to stay out of the places that they are. Don't go in dark alleys. Don't be in a dark parking lot. Have a friend come along with you. And be careful who you trust. I was thinking of that reminds me of a CHP story. California Highway Patrol. They patrol all over the place. And they always stop at a car that has nobody in it at the side of the road. They look in the car and make sure there's nobody in trouble. And they put a notice on the car to say, move this car or it will be towed. Well, anyway, there I was talking with a CHP, and he was saying, yeah, that's a part of my job. I stop at these cars all the time. And you would be surprised how many times I have stopped to check cars out. And it might be on a side road, it might be on a main road, it might be on a highway, a freeway, anything. They're all over. But the car is stopped, and so I check it out, said the CHP. And he said it was surprising how many times he had stopped to check out a car, and then he finds there is a man in the back seat on top of a woman. And the woman doesn't want him there. So it's just surprising. We have things happening, and we have to be so careful that we don't have bad things happen to us. So he said he had arrested lots of men in that position, and there are real dangers out there that the law enforcement community runs into every day. Now, we're just plain old citizens. We don't see the dangers. We don't see what it really means if we park in an out-of-the-way spot. We don't see what it means when our car breaks down. We don't see when there's con artists who want to take whatever we have. There are all sorts of things that happen everywhere, and we want to have goodness happen and not evil happen to us or our family. And that means we have to be careful, because there is evil in the world, and we have to protect ourselves from it. Now, how do you do that? Well, the best thing is don't get into the areas where evil is. Oh, but where is that? Well, I guess I'll tell you another story. It's not pleasant. I don't like it. But I know a man who was in the Coast Guard for, a dozen years or something. Yeah. And anyway, he used to patrol the Bay Area especially, but also the ocean off the coast of Central California. And what he said was, I would be surprised, really surprised, at how many bodies he pulled out of the bay. And, I mean, they're in bad shape. They're decayed. And it shows the people that got pulled out had been ritualistically abused and murdered, in fact. And he said that much of the time this had been done by Satanists. And, yeah, I said, how do you know that was true? But he just didn't want to say anymore. He just didn't want to talk about it. And all he said was, you could tell. Okay. Well, I wasn't going to push it. So what actually happens, I don't know. I'm probably glad that I don't know. But if there are Bay Area Satanists that are doing that to people and dumping their bodies in the bay, it's just another example of we have to be so careful for us, for our loved ones, our family members. Yeah, we have to be careful. There are always ways to get people hurt, and we want to avoid that. So I hope everybody thinks about their physical safety for what is really going on. Do I know it? No, but I get little indicators. I get things like this where somebody talks to me and says that. I get people who I know through ministry things that have been in prison. And there are just some amazing things that happen in prison, both that are so evil and also the things that are God working that could only have happened if God had was invited into the situation. So we're thankful for the people who know God, Jesus, and let God and Jesus work in their lives. It's amazing and wonderful, and there are stories that just remind you of miracles. Now, maybe you're not going to say it's a miracle like, I saw this transformation happen before my eyes. But you know, the circumstances are such that really the only way that could have happened was if there was, the involvement of God. Or you could say the hand of God moving. It just things happening that, astounding things. And so you know that reason tells you the only way it could happen is if there was the hand of God moving. And you just are amazed to hear the stories that come out of Oh, great difficulty. Or imprisonment, people in prison. I mean, they're the stories. And so we know God will move in our life also. We have to invite him in, we have to ask him, and we have to be ready for something to happen. And then I think we also will be prepared to do it in a way that is godly, that God knows the answer, and we say, yes, Lord. It's a part of our testimony to say, that happened, and this is what I reacted to it with, these words or these actions. Yes, hooray, God, we are so thankful that we belong to you, Jesus. God bless you. God bless the people we're talking to. And anyway, this is the thing that we are confronted with when we see the two sides of good and evil. And we get to choose so clearly that we don't want anything to do with the evil. We want to have to do with the good. And the best of the good is Jesus Christ. And so that is where we want to put our attention, our love, and our faith, and our obedience to Jesus. So that's a part of why these horrible stories have something good about them, is because it brings us closer to the goodness of God, and it makes us reject and want to move far away from the evil that is in the world. And so we say, yes, Lord, that I want you. I ask you into my heart and into my mind, and I pray that I will be obedient to you in the future. Thank you for forgiving my sins, Lord. Thank you for the forgiveness that you offer me and the chance to be in the godly kingdom forever and ever with you. Amen. So let's get used to being with Jesus. Let's get used to being godly, having godly behavior, godly thoughts, godly everything. And that means you can practice that right here on earth. Let's be godly. And that's something that you and I can do every single day. What can I do that is godly? Live a life that has to do with serving God. If you're in heaven, you're probably going to have that same attitude. What can I do to serve you, Lord God? So, let's do it on earth and get ready for heaven. Yes, and we see the things that are evil and we want to eliminate it. Maybe we can. You know, when there is real evil in front of you, you have to confront it. You have to eliminate it. You can't let evil live or survive. That's a part of... Oh, that reminds me of the guy in the Coast Guard. He said something just like that. He said, you just have to eliminate it, period, and completely. So, we get things in this world, and we can avoid a lot of things, including the things that we have right in front of us. We don't know what they are, but we want to avoid them. Avoid the things that are trouble, just plain trouble. And yes, you could call it evil too, and avoid that and embrace the goodness of the world that is godly, that is of Jesus Christ. Yes. And have friends that are godly and of Jesus Christ. If we know people that are ungodly, well, it just doesn't work so well. So let's have the people around us and the society that we are a part of be good and godly people. That just makes sense to me. So see what you can do. It just doesn't make sense to let evil into your mind or speak it with your mouth or anything. Just stay away from evil and hold fast to Jesus Christ. That's the thing about the contrasts around us. If we have contrasts, we often will realize more clearly that we don't want anything to do with evil. We only want to have things to do with goodness. And that is what I we can learn from evil is that there's the goodness in life, and we want to be a part of goodness and not evil. There are different places that we find evil, and it's not like I can tell you where to find it, but some of it you know just on your own. And you know, I don't really think there's an answer for instruction like that. I think it's individual. We all see it. We all know something. And then it's up to us to pursue goodness and stay away from evil. Stay close to Jesus. I guess I don't need to say that yet again, but it's just so important that we want to be obedient in every way to God Jesus. He is a good thing. And yes, there's so many things that we see that are going on. Do you know what's going on? Of course, we know a little bit about it. And this was a question I heard the other day. What is more important, your money or your vote? Well, that's a good question. What do you think is more important, your money or your vote? And the thing that you can look at is if you vote a certain way, your money will be gone. If you vote for a certain politician, they can raise your taxes so much that you don't have any money. So your vote is a very important thing. Politicians can take your money just depending on how you voted. So just be careful with, yes, be careful with your money, but be more careful with your vote, because that's going to have a longer effect on, yes, you, and yes, your children, and yes, the taxes don't just stop with you. The taxes increase so many percent a year normally. And there's all sorts of taxes that go on. And sure, it's income tax. Sure, it's corporate tax. It's every kind of tax that you can think of. They all are going to be taking away from what you have to spend and enjoy. I can't help but think of the United States sending $100 billion in cash and supplies to Ukraine. Now, $100 billion is a whole lot. And who's sending that money? Well, it's our legislators. They are sending the money to Ukraine. Why? Did you vote for it? Did you ask your legislators to send it to Ukraine? How did they get that idea? It's not that I know the answer. I just wonder how these things all come about. Because $100 billion is a lot. I remember million, billion, trillion. A million seconds is 12 days, a billion seconds is 32 years, and a trillion seconds is 32,000 years. So don't get your millions and billions mixed up. It's a big, big difference. And when I think about sending Ukraine, what? It depends on who you're talking to for how they count what. But it is in the neighborhood of $100 billion of cash and supplies that the United States has sent to Ukraine. And that means you are paying for the cash, you are paying for the military supplies. It's really you and your money that are supporting this. And there's even a question of what is going to happen. Will the war develop and turn into something else where you or your children or grandchildren get drafted? It's just a good question. It certainly is. There's plenty of people who see the war continuing and intensifying and turning into a nuclear disaster yes, in Russia, but also then extending probably asymmetrical warfare. And that means that our electrical grid could be taken down, our water systems could be poisoned, and it could just make a great big wartime mess if the war escalates. And the United States, the mainland United States, would be attacked. I mean, Russia has threatened this. China has threatened this. Venezuela and North Korea hate the United States. So there's lots of things that could happen. And we just know that with all the hate going on, lots of things could happen. And we want to be really, really careful about what we are supporting and doing and the consequences from doing it. Because there's a lot of people that don't like the United States. If you traveled outside the United States, they like our money. They're polite to us. But some people won't accept U.S. dollars. The banks will, but the people won't. It's just a question, because the U.S. has done some things that are not good in the world. And we get to just have the results of that right now. I know one of the things is sending these war supplies. What's going to happen with that? Because it doesn't mean they're going to be used the way we want them to be used. It doesn't mean that at all. If you get an explosive device, it doesn't mean it's going to be used against who you think it should be used against. No, it can be used in any way. That's the difference between good and evil. And it's just going to happen the way it happens because of the hearts of men. Well, I was thinking about a report that said that 80 to 90% of the machine guns that the United States has sent to Ukraine have disappeared before they were delivered to Ukraine. I mean, that's astounding. Oh, but this is the other part. Of those machine guns, they have found their way into outlaw motorcycle groups. And so those machine guns have been found in Stockholm, Sweden, and Berlin, Germany. Unknown how that happened, but it's a notable problem. That's the problem. There's things going on. We think we're doing good to support the war efforts, but we don't know the fullness of the effects that are going on because of what we are supporting and advocating. It's just most interesting, most difficult, even tragic. It's always tragic when you think of the number of people who die from wars and war type of conflicts. It's just not good. But we were warned, and what did we do? Our politicians, that is the legislature, still continues to send money and arms to different parts of the world. How can we do this? I don't know. George Washington surely said, don't get involved in foreign wars, and that's what we're doing. There will be consequences. I can only guess what they will be. No, I don't know what they are. I can guess, and it doesn't sound very good to me. But that's what we really are doing. So, we can still pray and ask for mercy in the things that are going to happen. And maybe you've heard about the different politicians who are not doing things right. You know what I mean. They're immoral. They do things that are stealing and cheating. And there's been a long history of politicians and rulers, kings, queens, presidents, vice presidents, secretaries of state. There has just been a long history of people who are in power that have not done things ethically, morally, or right. And it just takes a little looking into it. But most people won't even look a little bit. I mean, I'm thinking about the fire in Rome in 64 AD. Nero was emperor then, and Nero blamed the Christians for the fire that destroyed a great deal of Rome. And so, after the fire of 64 AD in Rome, Nero persecuted Christians. He had them slain, murdered in the arena of the Colosseum. He had Christians put on stakes and with burning burnable material on them, and then burned the Christians alive on the stakes in his garden area. So there's things that rulers have done that have just been so awful. Now, but the fire of Rome, again, Nero, who was the emperor, he blamed the Christians for setting that fire. But in the recent years, the recent decades, more has been uncovered about the history of Rome. And there have been official records from Roman court proceedings that have told about, well, the big testimony is that there were two, what do you call the workers, two just regular workers who were in the garden at the time, and they had been paid a lot of money to set fire to the houses in the area. So that was a written court document, testimony, in the Roman courts. But, you know, we never hear about that. We hear about Nero blaming the Christians for the fire of Rome in 64 AD. And that's pretty much what we hear. That's kind of what happens with, oh, call it evil. We don't get the whole story, and people never look to find the whole story either. I mean, there's... It's just something, it's so human to look for the simple and easy answers, and also to believe the teachers that you have in school and say, okay, now I know the answer and I can pass the test. So you write a term paper that has the information that you learned in school, and you pass the test, and you never study it anymore. And you don't find out about the court records with the two garden workers that say, no, we were paid to start the fire. There's still a lot of people who think the Christians started that fire in Rome. And that's just standard procedure. And yes, it's 2,000 years ago, but still, things happen, and we don't get the whole story, and people don't look. And besides people not looking, people don't even want the real answer. You know, there was the Great Chicago Fire, 1871, and for a long time, even to today, they say that Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked over a lantern, and it set the barn on fire, and the fire spread to buildings all over Chicago and caused the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. Now, I have not heard anything about that being true or untrue, but it's been always in my history been brought up as a question. There's just things we don't hear about. We don't look and we don't hear. One of the things that I kind of think was a puzzling thing was in the 1830s. I think it was 1832. Might have been 1932 or 1933. Right there, There was something called the bonus army, the bonus army. And a bonus is something you get when you do what they want. It's something you get. So what happened was the soldiers in World War I were promised a $500 bonus if they signed up for military service. And so a lot of people signed up knowing that they were going to get that $500 bonus because they needed money. Just like, what's changed? We all need money, don't we? So in about 1932-33, it was called the Bonus Army, and you can look it up using that term. They went and they protested, especially in Washington, D.C. Now, there is a question to how many people showed up, but it was tens of thousands of veterans who showed up in Washington, D.C. to protest that they did not receive their bonus. I think it was between 20 and 40,000. Yes, between 20 and 40,000 soldiers showed up to protest that they had not gotten the bonus they were promised. And there in the middle of the Depression, $500 would have meant a whole lot. So my recollection of that, let me think, is that the government then promised the veterans $1,000, but they had to wait till 1945 to get it. I'm pretty sure I'm correct on that. But it's something that we just don't hear about, the Bonus Army that marched on Washington, D.C. Another interesting part of that was the troops, the army, was called upon to protect the Washington, D.C. buildings. And the Washington, it was protected by the army, the troops. But the troops really didn't want to fire upon the veterans. But in a couple of cases, they were ordered to fire upon the veterans. Now, I only know of, I think there were two people who were killed, and that was because the army really refused to obey the orders. But it was an amazing situation that developed, both that there were so many protesters, and that the U.S. government would not pay what they promised, and that the army would not fire upon veterans. All of it was just an amazing situation, and we don't hear anything about that. Nobody knows anything about that or the involvement in World War II, and another piece of history that was so questionable. It didn't happen the way they said. So anyway, this is a thing that goes on with history. We only get a limited understanding of what happened, and a part of that understanding is lies. That goes back all the way through history. So we are left in this day and age to try to figure out what actually happened. And it's not the easiest thing to figure out. But we can understand some of it. And we know some of the things happened that we just wouldn't agree with, but they still happened. Oh, yeah. It's kind of hard to look back at history anyway from a few hundred years, 100 years, 1,000 years, whatever it is, and find out what the accuracies were. I think it's amazing that they could look up the court records from the Roman proceedings about the fire of Rome of 64 AD. There's just a lot of things that are really available to us, but we don't take the time to look. I think one of the amazing things that is available to us is the contents of the vaccines that we put in our children's and our own arms. Amazing. I just couldn't believe it when I started looking at that. The vaccines have material. Yeah, I'll just call it material. It's It's what the injections take their essence from. And so they harvest it off the organs of almost always it's aborted fetuses that happened like in 1990 or 1980. I mean, they're old things that they harvest the cells from, and then they feed them, and then they plant the whatever it is they're wanting to develop and harvest for the vaccine. They put it into a solution and inject it into our bodies and our children's bodies. That's how it happens. And they grow it on everything from bovine, cow, to pig, to horse, to chicken. And they just grow the things on whatever medium will grow them. But that's how they do it. And I urge everyone to look up that what the vaccines are developed upon, what material they are grown upon. And also, when you find something that you don't understand, look up the word and see where what they're talking about. They don't just tell you that they grow it on horses or pigs or chickens or eggs or whatever it is. It's something that you have to search the meanings of the words that they tell you, and then you can grasp what it is the researchers and scientists are talking about when they're telling you that they grow the vaccines on that, or whatever it is, the liver or the, usually, some cells of whatever it is, an animal or an aborted fetus. It's shocking. You just can't believe it that that's what they actually do. It's there to look up. But like so many things, we don't look it up. We don't care enough to seek out the information and see what we're injecting into our body. Well, I hope you do look. It will just change your ideas of everything that science is doing. And that includes the vaccines. And there's this thing, what's going on with the COVID-19 vaccines, too. And are they really killing people? I think that's an open question. It's the big thing that I see is that there was no long-term research done on the vaccines before it was injected into people. And that's why it's called an experimental vaccine, because they don't know the real results. And I just urge everybody to look. Everybody. It's shocking and surprising. But don't believe me. Don't believe anybody. There's a lot of people who tell you a lot of things. Vaccines are safe and effective. Oh, yeah, right. Oh, okay. Well, maybe you think so, but I know I have people in my family that have had permanent, lifelong disability from, I'm thinking of one man in particular. Oh, wow. He's almost 40 now, and they're just thinking, how can he keep alive another year? He's been under home care for a long time, but the vaccine, the fund that pays for vaccine damage to peoples, he's on that, and he says, it's just that the vaccines do have some risk with them, and you better realize that it's a risk you might not want to accept if you really have studied the matter. But that's a matter for you. That's a matter for you to study. It's a question. It's a question. There's lots of questions. And let's see, I recently talked about the election in Brazil. See, that's another question. Are our voting machines accurate? Are their voting machines accurate? Well, they've been marching through the streets by the tens of thousands because they say the election couldn't have gone that way. And how many times have you had it happen where you ask somebody, who did you vote for? And you find out that nobody, or maybe one person, voted for the person that actually won officially. But of all the people you talk to and you ask, who did you vote for? And not a one of them voted for the person that won. It's just a great big question about what these voting machines do and what the voting machines in Brazil are doing. And the demonstrators want the codes to get into the internal workings of the machines so that they can question what has gone on. Of course, nobody's given it to anybody, but it's a question. That's going on right now. Right now, in Brazil, there is a question about voter fraud. And a lot of people say it's been done right here in America for that 2020 presidential election. Oh, boy. So, did it? It could have. And then what would happen if Americans found out that there was great big voter fraud? Do you think we'd sit still for it? Or would we do things like protest? Or some would say, well, they riot. I don't know. But I know there's a whole lot of people in Christian people who say they've heard a message that says that there's going to be great discord and violence in America. Our money's going to fail. And it's going to be like Revelation chapter 18, when Babylon is judged in 1 hour. Well, it's not like I know. If God spoke to me like that, I would tell you. But I don't know the answer to that. All I know is there are people who say it, and I pay attention to the people who talk like that. Doesn't mean I believe them. I don't know that I believe them. But I know that when more than one person says that, I pay a little more attention. When there are three people, yes, a little more attention, which gives me enough understanding of it to tell it to you. Maybe I shouldn't until I know more, but the implications are pretty big, and it's a current issue. So yes, I'm going to tell you about it because it might mean something, especially to somebody. I don't know who. Well, will that mean our election machines are fraudulent? And then, like some will say, that Trump actually won the 2020 election, and he will be given the presidency in 2024. Good question. Hey, I don't know, but I just mean there's so many things going on right now these days that we just have to watch out and beware and say, yes, Lord, guide me. Guide me, help me, protect me. Let me do your will. So that's the kind of thing that's going on. And by the way, if we do have such hard times coming, like a Revelation chapter 18 with the judgment of Babylon, I suggest that everybody has extra Bibles and hymnals. And sure, there's a couple other books. Concordance is very good. All these things are really, really good. And if we get into a position where there is such conflict, we cannot expect to list our electricity grid to work. So this is something too. What would you do without electricity? There's a lot of people who just can't make it without whatever it is. It's a situation that could turn upon us very quickly, especially with the United States and the United Kingdom going into Ukraine and giving Ukrainians the information, or call it intelligence, to send bombs, whether it's by drones or by missile, into Russia. This is something that could turn into a war faster than we can grasp. So just know that it's better to have a little preparedness than none. And we do want to be considerate of the people we know, the family, the friends that we have, and try to bring them to Jesus Christ with the testimony in the gospel and our own testimony, our personal experience with what has happened to us. These things are remarkable, and there's books and videos that have it to talk about the experience that people have had. Just amazing experience, and rational, reasonable experience. But you still have to be willing to listen. And that's what I hope everybody has a chance to do. We want to save the people we love and that we know, and even the people who are just kind of medium. We don't want them to go to hell, the lake of fire, I should say. Well, you can call it either way. So it's pretty close. So there's things that are consequences of our life if we do not live according to Jesus and depend on him for our forgiveness and how we live from now on. Well, read the Bible yourself. See what you see. I know I have my understanding, and I know I have my, I guess I could call them instructions. And maybe you should look too, because there's things that we're supposed to do. Sure, we're all familiar with the concept of the Ten Commandments, and there's very few people who can actually name the Ten Commandments. So what is your position on it? Maybe you can only name the two great commandments. Well, that's a good start. The two great commandments are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second commandment, which is like unto it, is to love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, how are we doing at that one? Can you love your neighbor like you love yourself? Maybe. But I'll leave that one up to you. The point is that these are some of the commands of Jesus Christ, and we would do well to look into the matter and see what it is that we need to see and understand and do, because that's a big part of it. We have things to do. We have things to do so we can be right with Jesus. Let's just say it like that. That's an easy way. Yeah, it's all. There's a whole lot of love that's going on with God and his people. And that's a part of what we do too. And we don't want the consequences of the sin, so we ask Jesus for forgiveness. And it's amazing. God, Jesus, took the penalty for us so that we can be forgiven when we accept his gift of forgiveness. It's so wonderful. It's just astounding. There's lots of people in prison who have done things so bad, they don't think they can be forgiven. Listen to the testimonies sometime, and you'll see it too. They think there's no hope for them. What they've done has been so bad, they cannot be forgiven. And that's the way they live, like they can't be forgiven. But the blood of Jesus Christ can forgive anybody from anything. You just have to accept it, and then, with your confession, then accept the blood of atoning for your sins, and that Jesus paid for your sins. And it's just an amazing, wonderful thing that we have that available to us. We can have it right now. Right now, any one of us can ask Jesus for our forgiveness of our sins, and then we turn from them, of course. That's called repentance, and we live according to what Jesus calls us to live. Eliminate the old habits in our life. That's what we want to do. And so this is a part of our born-again experience. Well, I hope you read it for yourself, because to read it yourself, you get a much better and fuller idea about what is going on and what you can do or need to do to get right with God. And it's all there. It's all easy for you to do. It's just that you have to do it. You have to have that relation with Jesus. See what he wants you to do. Well, there's a lot of things that we are looking at in the world. There's a lot of natural disasters. I know speaking of the Lake of Fire, another fire. We get forest fires from time to time. And there was that Paradise fire called the Campfire. That was a big one. Oh, I had a lot of friends that lost their homes in that fire. And I do advocate for preparedness, and I think everybody ought to prepare. I do remember at that time there were more than a few people who had the attitude, oh, that fire made me lose everything, all my supplies, everything. And I don't know why I should prepare. It just doesn't matter. Well, a lot of those people didn't have a home to go to. And so they went to the neighboring city in Chico. And Chico had a lot of people that had preparedness on hand. They had water and food and warm clothes, and some had a bedroom that they could spare or a garage. And many people from Paradise went to people in Chico and lived there. And so I would have to say that, sure, the preparedness of the people in Paradise burned up. But then they moved to Chico, and the people in Chico used their preparedness, food, and supplies to help the people who were burned out of Paradise. So there's those things too. Asher was glad to have that preparedness presentation at the Paradise Performing Arts Center. A lot of people found that to be a good thing to have gone to. It wasn't like it was a huge crowd or anything. It wasn't. But the people that went were glad to go. And I just reminded people of how important it was to prepare. It was very good. Very good. Well, I'm so glad you're listening to Christ Today. And I certainly invite anybody to listen to any past broadcasts. Some of them are interesting. If you do, if you can find that past broadcasts at www.christtoday.org, and then just look for John Stephenson on there, and you can hear any past broadcast. And of course, I can be reached for a comment or a donation or a question or something else. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222. Chico, California, 95927. I pray for the people who listen and the people who send me something too. So I do want everyone to walk with God, and I also pray that God will walk with you. God bless you.